Planet Shakers Church. What a great day we have in store for you. I am believing for you to encounter God. The Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it gets right into the between bone and marrow, into our spirit, and it changes our life. I'm believing this Word will change your life. Sit back and enjoy the Word of the Lord for you today. Last week, I spoke to you on the topic, resist the devil and he will flee, and talked about that as our resistance, there's a propelling to another level. And I remember I used the slingshot. As you pull it back, there's resistance, but if they let go, it goes to a whole nother place. And so today, because if we're going to go to supernatural increase, there needs to be some resistance involved, because the devil's not going to sit there and say, do whatever you want. He's going to try and stop you and I from being the very thing God had called us to be. Resist the devil and he will flee. Today I want to speak to you on the topic, shake it off. Everyone say, shake it off. Not shake it, shake it off. We don't need any that type of shaking. Shake it off. You know, if we're going to be planet shakers, we've got to learn to shake it off, because we're planet shakers. Birch, bam. Acts chapter 28 says this. Once we were safe on the shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island of Malta were very kind to us. It was cold and it was rainy. So they built, it sounded like Melbourne, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. He said, ouch. No, he didn't. That's just my version. The people on the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, a murderer, no doubt. How you got that? How they were thinking like that? It's unbelievable. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. So one moment, he's going to be killed by God because he must have been a bad person, a murderer. Next, well, he must be a god. Small g. Near the shore where he landed was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island, and he welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. And as it happened, Publius's father was ill with fever and dysentery. Paul went in and prayed for him, laying his hands on him, he healed him. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. As a result, we were showered with honors, and when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. In this scripture, there are principles that I want to highlight that are in the Word of God all through scripture. And I want to highlight a few things as I look into this scripture. And now these things actually highlight what God wants to do in your life. How many know God wants to bless you? Three people on the front row think that. How many believe God wants to bless you? Yeah. This side. How many believe God wants to bless you? Yeah. This side. Yeah. Wow. It's a bit of fire on that side. He wants to bless you. You know, we talked about last week that the devil's MO was to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly, life to the full. So in this scripture, there is a whole heap of principles that you can learn all through the Bible. But the first thing they said is they built a fire. I want to encourage you today, build a place for the fire of God to burn. Now they built a physical fire, but all through scripture, there were altars that were built for the fire of God to come. You see, God wants our lives to be so on fire for God. Remember I did the sermon on fire. It needs oxygen. It needs fuel. No, it needs heat. It needs fuel. And we provide the fuel. Fuel is passion. Fuel is hunger. God provides the oxygen. He provides the heat. We provide the fuel. And so if we're going to build fires for God, His Spirit will be outpoured. The wind of the Spirit will come, but it's our passion and our hunger that builds fires. We need our lives to be on fire for God. The fire of God does amazing things. The devil doesn't like fire, so he'll try to do whatever he can to stop your fire. But here is the second point that I want to show you. The Bible says that Paul carried sticks, an armful of sticks. Now, the point that I want to show you today is if you look through the scripture, there were so many times that God was using the principle, use what's in your hand. Moses was there one day, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, in Pharaoh's house, he was mighty in words and powerful in deeds. But he went into the wilderness after a period of time, and God spoke to him through a burning bush, a bush that was on fire. And God says, go set my people free. But Moses says, I can't speak. How did he go from a place of being powerful in words and go to a place of not speaking? I believe it was on the journey when he was rejected by his people, and his people's, he was called to be a ruler, a deliverer, and these people turned against him and said, you killed an Egyptian, who do you think you are? And he ran from that moment to the wilderness. I believe rejection changed his language. Something had happened. So God is there and he says, I want you to go to set my people free. And he said, God, I can't speak. And then God says, throw what's in your hand on the ground. And the rod became a snake. And he said, pick up the snake. And he picked up the snake and it became a rod. And that rod was a part of seeing the miracle happen in the life of him and also the life of the Israelites. I'm here to tell you, use what's in your hand. Use what God's put you in your hand, whether it's your time, whether it's an ability, whether it's a talent. Use what God has given you and throw it down and let Him multiply it to see miracles in your life. Paul put the sticks on the fire. You see, we put our gifts on the fire of God to make the fire go stronger. The next thing we see in this story is the heat brought the snake out. When you are on fire for God, the enemy cannot handle the fire you carry. I want you to listen to this. So when God says supernatural increase and God is blessing you and you're on fire and you're passionate for God, the devil always cannot handle the heat in the fire. So what is in your life, what is around your life comes out really quickly and it tries to bite you to stop you from being who God called you to be. You see, the snake doesn't come out in the cold, comes out in the heat. If your life is cold, the enemy won't attack you because he's got you. But if your life is on fire, the enemy will try to attack you, and it's because of the heat you carry, it exposes his work in your life. So it came and it bit him. The heat brought the snake out and it bit him. It was a poisonous snake. It was a snake that was supposed to kill him. You see, the devil wants to bite your life. He wants to attack your life. He wants to bring your life down. That's the way he is, a destroyer, a killer. He is a person who wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. And so he'll try to poison your life with attitudes, poison your life with a whole heap of things in your life. And you and I have a choice whether we're going to, you know, some people like the snake being on their hand. You know, my life is so tough. Oh, life's not fair. I got a victim mentality. Look. And so many people carry the attack of the enemy as a trophy because they have a victim mindset. Paul didn't go, oh, woe is me, I'm going to die. Oh, feel sorry for me. Oh, look at my life. Oh. He didn't do that. The Bible says this, he shook it off. I'm here to tell you today, shake off disappointment. Shake off fear. Shake off the attacks of the enemy. Shake off bitterness. Shake off the... See, because you're so on fire, the enemy will try to bite you with a whole heap of stuff. But I'm telling you, greater is he that's in you than he that bites you. Shake it off. Everyone say, shake it off. High five your neighbor and say, shake it off. Shake it off. You know, sometimes we think shaking it, well, it must be this big attack, but maybe it's a small attitude you need to shake off. I was brought up in the church. I didn't want to be a preacher, even though I was called to preach. And the reason I didn't want to be a preacher, because my grandfather was a preacher, my grandmother was a preacher, my other grandfather was a preacher, my dad was a preacher, my uncle was a preacher, my mother's a preacher, my brother's a preacher, my cousin's a preacher, my sister-in-law's a preacher, my other cousin's a preacher. So we got preachers coming out of our ears. I didn't want to be a preacher because I didn't think I could do as good as any of those. So I had insecurity that had bitten me. It had bitten me, and I had to come to a point where I shook it off. But in the church that I was from, it's called Paradise Community Church, now Influences Church, there were so many Evanses. Good Evans, there was another Evans. And so my youth pastor's name was Danny Guglielmucci, he was Italian, and Pastor Mark Bates is here, and his father pastored a church on the south of Adelaide. It was taken over by another guy because he had moved on to another position, and he took over this church, and this church actually had a church split. And so my dad asked Danny Guglielmucci, who had been my youth pastor, who believed in me and loved me, cared for me, brought out greatness in me. In fact, I'm standing here today because I'm still interpreting his dreams when he would preach about changing the world. And so that's a whole nother sermon. You see, I want to chase my dream. Well, maybe interpret someone else's dream and your dream will come about. Joseph interpreted the dream of everyone else, and because he did that, God gave him his own dream. And so there I was, and Danny was sent to the south of Adelaide to take over this church split. It was down to about 30 to 50 people left in the church. And I was asked to go to be his, help him. I was also running the youth ministry at the time and the young adult they'd just given, about to give to me. My brother was about to become my boss, which is like an amazing challenge. Because when your dad's your boss, he's your dad. He's been your boss your whole life. Your brother hasn't been your boss your whole life. He's tried to boss you, but you take him on. Now you've got to submit to him. Oh, we're going to do that. Oh, that's such a great idea. Even if you don't think it is, you've got to go, yes. Where if it was at home, you'd go, no, that's stupid. Now he's your boss. So God says, my dad says, well, can you help Danny for 3 months? I'm like, yeah, sure, that'd be awesome. And I was loving it because there was only one Evans in the church. And Danny was my youth pastor, so here I'm used to him being my boss, and my brother was over there. And I was running the youth ministry, the young adult ministry, half-time, and I was running the youth ministry, the music ministry, and helped with the church. And the church exploded. In 3 months, it grew to 500 people. And it was exciting. And I'd go back to Paradise Church, and it was like, and the young adults, they didn't really care. You know, they asked me to take over the young adults, and they said, how do you think it'll go? I said, it'll grow, because everything I've ever led has grown. Well, the young adults wasn't growing in that 3 months, and it was frustrating. But over here, it was amazing, and it was growing, and Danny's associate, and it's wow, incredible. And then my dad asked me after 3 months to come back to serve my brother. And I'm like, oh. And Danny, he's like, whatever God tells you, but it'd be good if you stayed, but whatever God tells you, well, I'm here. And I'm like, I go on a trip to America and I'm wanting to hear God say, stay on the south side. But he says, go serve your father. I'm like, that's the devil. I bind that in Jesus' name. I take authority over that. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. So be gone. I get back and God says, go back and serve your father and your brother. I'm like, okay. I go back. I have an attitude, to be honest. I'm like, this is stupid. And then I hear how great everything's going over there. Even though this church is a lot bigger, how great it's going, because everything looks greener on the other side. Wow, that's amazing. And then my assistant youth pastor, I'm sending him on a trip to China, paid for by the youth ministry with a team, comes to me at a Youth Alive rally the night before he's about to travel, and he says, oh, I'm resigning. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, I'm going to go on the trip and come back and that'll be my end. I said, well, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to the south of Adelaide to work with Danny to be his youth pastor. No one's talked to me. I'm like, I got attitude really big now. I'm like, what didn't he tell me? And who? I'm mad. I'm like, I'm paying for you to go to a trip to China and you tell me on the night you're going to leave. I got attitude. I'm like, God, this is stupid. I should be there. And God says, shake off that attitude. I'm like, no. I'm like, no, on the inside, on the outside, oh, yes, Lord. None of you have never been there. I know you're a... It's like, yes, every time, you know, yes, Lord, yes, whatever you want, yes, yes, give $1 million, yes, Lord. One day I want to give $1 million. Okay, give you first 1,000. Oh, one day I'm going to give $1 million. I want to change the world for Jesus. I'm going to witness. There's a person over there. Oh, one day, Lord. Here I am. Use me. Okay, could you be an usher? God, I'm called to be a singer. Right. Don't you know who I am? I'm a son of the King. Good. Go serve in the car park. What do you mean? You said, here's my life. Yeah, but I didn't mean that. I meant my brothers would bow down to me, Joseph. I didn't mean to be sold as a slave, and I didn't mean to be put in Potiphar's house. And see, Joseph didn't get an attitude in Potiphar's house. He served. And then he gets in prison, made up story about him, and he's in prison, and he's like, he could have got an attitude, but he didn't let the attitude get on him. He kept shaking it off by interpreting other people's dreams. So God says, shake it off. I'm like, it's all right for you to say, but your name's not Evans. And you don't have your brother here you have to follow. You follow your father. You want me to follow my brother? He says, yes. South African, yes. He's New Zealander. Choice, bro. Win the All Blacks always win. Yeah. Go serve. You say, how did your brain go there? I don't know, but it went there. Go serve. So I served. And the very first thing I said, I had this attitude from these young adult leaders. They were just experts at church building. So they were telling me how they should do it and all that. And they were running big urban life groups and they got attitude, and I put up with them for a period of time and said, that's enough. And you need to change your attitude. But I needed to change my attitude because I had an attitude with them. Yeah. But I changed my attitude and I started looking at the potential. I shook off the thing that the enemy would try to bite me with. So I'm sitting in a meeting, which you all know, over there at the Glass House, and God, I'm at Paradise Church, Influencers Church, and God, have an encounter with God. He says, start a conference called Planet Shakers. This is about 2 months after this. And God spoke to me and we started the conference and it blew up and exploded and this church is here because of that. But the truth is, if I was over the south side of Adelaide, there was no infrastructure, there was no people, there was no building. It could never have happened. God in His plan had a greater plan for my immediate moment. What seemed like the immediate moment seemed like a backward step. But God was saying, shake off that bad attitude because I'm about to change your altitude, because your attitude changes your altitude. So shake it off, baby. Get rid of that small thinking. Get rid of that disappointment. Get rid of that disapproval. Get it out of your system. Shake it off. And what do? You shake it off and throw it in the fire. Because the fire will kill it so it can't come out again. Shake it off. Put it in the fire of God. Say, God, I'm getting rid of this. I'm throwing it out. You burn it up. Then the Bible says, I love this, that the people looked at him and they think he's going to die. He's going to blow up. He wasn't even eating. That was a joke, by the way, but it didn't go very well. That was a crash landing. It's about as reliable as the flights out of Fiji. They were 4 hours delayed, just joking. But if you're watching from Fiji, we love Fiji. The airline's great, amazing, thank you. Here's the truth. When you walk in the promises of God, the enemy cannot harm you. He can attack you, but he cannot harm you. Though I walk through the fire, the Bible says, I will not be burnt. He cannot harm you. The Bible says in Luke 10, 18 to 20, yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you, that's us, authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. Don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. See, that word authority is strength, it's jurisdiction, it's rule of government, it's power. God says, I'm going to give you a power so wherever you walk, the things that seem that they can bite you and try to stop you cannot stop you, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. That means you and God are a majority every time. I love this though. It says, don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. That means, you know, I've seen this over the years. You've got people who are into spiritual warfare and they pray and bind the devil, and I'm into all of that. But if the binding of the devil is for a purpose of winning lost people, the very reason the Holy Spirit was given is to win the world. Jesus came to save the world. So he's saying, even though you've got authority over the devil, don't rejoice at that. Rejoice because that authority enables you to win people to get their name registered in heaven. In other words, written into eternity in heaven. That's why as a church we bind and loose and we have prayer and all that. But prayer is not the thing we worship. God is the thing we worship. Prayer is about empowering us to have authority so we can release the anointing to see people whose names aren't registered in heaven, whose names become registered in heaven. That's why you have authority. In fact, the greatest spiritual warfare you could ever do is pull somebody from hell into heaven, plunder hell and populate heaven, because the devil's purpose is for people to go to hell. Jesus's purpose is for them to go to heaven. So what's the biggest damage against the enemy is somebody who is in the kingdom of darkness be brought into the kingdom of light. And if you believe that, would you shout and praise God like he's worthy of? The enemy cannot harm you. And lastly, your opposition, the attack from the enemy, is what shows others your conquering of that, shows others how powerful your God is. See, the people were amazed he didn't drop dead. So then they turned and they said he must be a god. And then he's in Publius's house, and Publius is the ruler of Malta. He owns the land. He has all authority. He's a ruler there. And his father is sick, and Paul prays for his father. His father gets healed. Then all the sick people come, and they all get healed. And so when Paul is about to go on his journey, they all supply all the resources for his journey. Why? Because they saw the demonstration of God. When a snake bit him, he shook it off, and he threw it back in the fire, and it showed the authority that God had in his life. And then he goes to Publius' house, lays hands on the father, he gets healed. Then everyone else comes and gets healed. Why? Because his opposition to your life isn't a demonstration of the enemy. It's actually a demonstration of God, who says, I have power over the enemy, and I'm going to make your life a trophy of my grace, and I'm going to make your life so show off my glory. I'm going to make your life so show off my goodness that people are going to come and say, would you pray for me? Would you help me? Would you show me the way to how you have peace even in a storm? Would you show me the way to breakthrough? Would you show me the way to blessing? Would you show me the way? Oh, come on, somebody, from the back to the front, to the left to the front, right. Would you give God a praise? Because God is going to make your life a trophy of grace. A trophy of grace. A trophy of grace. See, we're not perfect people, but we have a perfect God who loves taking things that are broken and attacked and breathing ruah, life, authority into their lives, so that he uses the despisings of the world to confound the wise. He uses the people that seemed attacked, broken and hurting to be a trophy of his grace. And it doesn't mean if you live on the streets or you live in the boardrooms, each one of us are broken and hurting. Each one of us have had dysfunctional lives. But when Jesus comes in, he turns it around. And he says, shake it off. The reason you're attacked is because you're anointed. The reason you're attacked is because you have supernatural increase. The reason why the enemy wants to stop you and stifle you is because he's scared of the potential in you. So we got to resist him and he will flee. And we got to shake off any attack, and we got to stir up the fire and put more gifts in the fire and put more things in the fire. Burn it so great. Let our hunger and passion be so great. The very thing in the fire that tries to come out and bite you, you shake it off and throw it back in the fire, and it destroys it. And then you live victorious. Greater is he that's in you. The Bible says that you're more than a conqueror. You say, well, how can I be more than a conqueror? Because Jesus has conquered. So he says, if you operate in the authority I give you, I'll show you how to be more than a conqueror. Because I'm the conqueror and you'll be the more than. That's called unmerited favor. By grace are you saved. It's unmerited favor. God is here. I'm here to tell you, supernatural increase is here. God said to me, I want you to change nations. I want you to impact nations. And if I hadn't shaken off that attitude, if I hadn't gone, yeah, I'm going to go back and serve with 120%. I'm not going to live in, why am I there? Why aren't I having that? Why? I'm going to say, thank God. And today you are standing here as a trophy of grace to that decision of shaking off that attitude. Thanks so much for joining us today. It is a new day. It is a day of standing strong in the word of the Lord. It's a day of breakthroughs and miracles, joy and peace, favor and blessing. We would love to connect with you. Why don't you email us at church@planetshakers.com or on any social media platform. We're believing this will be the greatest day of your life. Shake off all the limitations and step into the great breakthroughs God has for you. God bless you. See you next week at Planet Shakers Church.